Hi listeners, old and new, Coach Kevin Dunn here with another weekly injection of Fitness Facts. This week's episode is centered around an eyebrow-raising experience I had recently with a couple of different physical therapists. In my quest to always understand rather than blindly follow, I couldn't help myself but to try and unravel the mysteries of their recommendations. If you're a long-time listener of the show, thank you. You will know that I play a few different sports. I do gymnastics, judo, and karate mostly, but I also enjoy the anti-aging hedge of resistance training. So it's fair to say that my physical avatar has some ongoing wear and tear. I had some knee surgery in 2011 that affected my gait, so I have pain often in my hip and glute on the same side. In the last couple of weeks, I've seen a couple of different people, both of whom recommended protocols that I would have considered to be pseudoscience. So, with their definitive claims that I needed to do these protocols to recover, and that their patients all see relief from doing them, was it the case that I was the one who was misinformed and biased? Join me today as I take a look at foam rolling and wet cupping. I was first introduced to foam rolling at least 20 years ago, so it's been around a while, and was in fact created in the 1970s by Moshe Feldenkrais, the originator of what was known as the Feldenkrais method. The aim of the method was to improve pain and mobility issues. In 1987, one of Feldenkrais' students, a physical therapist named Sean Gallagher, was hired to keep a Broadway dancing troupe in a condition where they could dance every single night. This led to the deployment of foam rollers across the dancing industry. Eventually, this made its way into the gym arena via a book called Integrated Training for the New Millennium, where it was championed as a tool for self-myofascial release. So, now we know where it came from, but you didn't come here for a history lesson. You want to know, does foam rolling work for what it claims to? Does it help to break up muscle knots and aid recovery? Well, thankfully, there have now been quite a few studies on this. 2015, one study determined that foam rolling increased range of motion and decreased pain in subjects for up to 20 minutes post-foam rolling. The relief likely came from increased blood flow to the area, helping to clear metabolites, similar to the action of heat therapy, rather than any effect on the fascia itself, the fascia being the sheath of tissue that surrounds muscle, as well as other structures in the body like nerve bundles. It's a layer of fibrous connective tissue. Foam rolling claims to release tightness in these tissues. In 2019, a meta-analysis concluded that foam rolling can provide short-term improvements in flexibility without decreases in muscle performance. This meta-analysis did, however, conclude that any improvements in pain were contradictory and that any mechanism by which this occurred was unclear. It was noted that the effects were most likely psychological, and that if an athlete were to feel a decrease in perceived discomfort due to a psychological effect rather than a physiological one, it would still be worthwhile to deploy it as an intervention. This is something I often cover with my own clients when they ask my opinion on something, whether or not it works. My question back to them is always, well, does it provide you with any relief or benefit? If their answer is yes, I'll generally allow them to continue because most of these kind of therapies are not harmful interventions, and the placebo effect has been demonstrated to work across human history. What I am very careful about, though, is ensuring that a placebo doesn't flip to become a nocebo, which is at the opposite end of the spectrum, where we see an athlete underperform because they forgot their lucky socks, or they flicked the light switch 3 times instead of 5 before going onto the field of play. Someone starts telling me they can't squat today because they forgot their foam roller. We have a nocebo situation. This has to be monitored carefully. So, does foam rolling work? Well, if it provides you with relief, then yes. However, the mechanism of action is pretty murky, and it's likely that any relief you feel is either psychological or coming from a related reaction like increased blood flow. Unless you're noceboing yourself, I don't see any harm in foam rolling at all. So on to the next recommended protocol, wet cupping. So I was told We need to book you in for wet cupping. I just had a boxer in who had a torn knee ligament, and this fixed him up in just one session. This immediately set off a red flag for me, because torn knee ligaments generally don't improve in one session of anything, and often frequently require surgical intervention. So needless to say, I didn't book myself in for a wet cupping session. Instead, I immediately booked myself in for a session with my computer to research these claims. So let's start with what wet cupping is. Well, unlike foam rolling, which is mostly seen as a recovery tool, wet cupping is alternative medicine. The American Cancer Society, several international ministries of health, and subject matter experts at University College London have classified wet cupping as utterly implausible, going so far as to say it has no place in modern medicine. Pretty strong words, I'd say. And yet there are hundreds of locations nationwide in the US where you can go for what amounts to bloodletting. In wet cupping, the skin is scored or covered in small incisions, and suction cups are then placed upon top of the scoring, sucking out the blood. It has its roots in practices in many locations across the world, including ancient Greece, where Hippocrates used cupping in 460 BC, as well as in ancient Babylon, Persia, and China. But just because something has been around for a long time doesn't give it any efficacy in healing. It just means it's been around for a long time, typically longer than modern medicine. As I was writing this episode out, I had a look at a wet cupping website near me. Their own description was vague at best, saying, "Cupping is something a lot of people know of, but haven't yet been majorly exposed to, or don't exactly understand the benefits of it." Whether you're someone who's keen on fitness or someone who's fairly inactive, cupping has benefits which will only improve your health and quality of life. So, to recap, cupping has benefits that you don't understand, and I'm not going to explain them to you or help you to understand, but rest assured, it'll improve your health. Sounds good. A bit more digging got me to another wet cupping provider who had a very helpful FAQ page where they answered the question, what is wet cupping good for? According to them, wet cupping helps us in many ways. Pain management can help with a migraine, cervical or lower back pain, sciatica, knee osteoarthritis, and ankle sprains, etc. It can boost your immunity. It can lead to better digestion. It has psychiatric benefits, like helping your body to get relaxed, improving sleep, relieving anxiety and depression. It can also improve your skin condition, helps with respiratory issues, and lowers blood sugar, cholesterol, and uric acid, which causes gout. As objective thinkers, I hope that you will arrive at the same conclusion as a myriad of doctors, medical experts, and health ministries. It's definitely admirable to seek out all alternatives for health, including non-pharmaceutical interventions. But I just can't get on board with sucking some blood out to improve psychiatric or other issues. I have to note that there are some studies out of China that demonstrate some positive effects of wet cupping. But these studies were shown in a recent meta-analysis to be lacking in adequate randomization or blinding, and the lack of ethical review affects the credibility of these studies. The biggest takeaway from the meta-analysis was that some trials in the systematic review had a high risk of bias. In the absence of any peer-reviewed evidence, and in the presence of overwhelming put-downs of wet cupping by the established medical community, I wouldn't even put this in the category of placebo. I just can't get on board with anything related to blood being drawn by non-medical practitioners. So for me, on wet cupping, it's a hard pass. There will be links to the studies in the transcript for this episode if you want to check some resources or do your own digging. Head to the show notes for a link. Remember, if you have any questions for me, email me at getfitguy@quickanddirtytips.com. And I'll do my best to get a reply to you or answer your question on the show. Get Fit Guy is a Quick and Dirty Tips podcast, thanks to the team at Quick and Dirty Tips, Adam Cecil, Morgan Christensen, Holly Hutchings, and Davina Tomlin. Our intern is Cameron Lacey. I'm your host, Kevin Dunn. If you have a question for me, leave me a voicemail at 510-353-3104 or send me an email at getfitguy@quickanddirtytips.com. For more information about the show, visit quickanddirtytips.com or check out the show notes in your podcast app.